For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, Ball Guys podcast getting off the ground, and I don't know, it's weird seeing TJ this week at the Taylor Center doing public address for not hockey, but hoops, and it's a little, you know, it's like seeing Harmon Killebrew in a Vikings uniform, right?
Strangely warm the whole entire time, and lots of squeaking. I don't know what was going on.
Why do those skates squeak so bad?
Fun. I know. Yeah, it was fun. A little high school girls basketball for the section championship tournament, and did a couple games on Monday. I'll have a couple more on Friday, and then I'll be back next week for the boys on Monday and Thursday.
Nice.
My annual 2-week stint as a basketball announcer, and I just hope I'm pulling it off because I don't know a ton about basketball.
Well, sounded good. Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
Sounded good. Yeah. You didn't slip into a Maverick goal or You Betcha or anything. So, yeah. So far, so good. Back at it on Friday. Well, the Vikings got out the axe, and the salary cuts began this week. Trying to get under that the cap. They're, what, 24? They were about $24 million over. So, some tough cuts coming, and it started with a really tough one with the cutting of linebacker Eric Kendricks. Spence was letting Kendricks go the right move. He's a good guy, totally good guy, good in the community, good in the locker room, been a Viking his whole career.
I think you had to probably make a tough decision on him, but I don't have any problem with it. I mean, he's been with us for a long time, but, man, how many plays last year? And I know he did lead the team in tackles, but Hicks was right behind him, but man, how many times was he just in the wrong place in that 3-4 defense last year? So a tough decision. I'll hate to see him go, kind of, but he missed some plays last year, I thought.
Yeah, he wasn't ranked very favorably by Pro Football Focus. He was way down on the list of linebacker play, and he's only getting, you know, he's not getting any younger, right? So he's just going to get older as time goes on. So I guess it was the right cut. I don't know. Dougie, intern Ben is with us over there. Hi, Ben. How's it going, man?
It's going good.
Welcome to Ball Guys. You're celebrating a spring break with us. I mean, is that just the saddest thing you've ever heard in your life? Just make you want to cry almost?
Yes.
Jeez. I don't know. We're kind of party guys. I'm sure you'll have a good time. It'll be fine.
Where are you going? Fort Lauderdale, South Padre, North Mankato.
Mankato. Hey, at least it's raining inside. Snowing outside.
Well, he did have plans to go to Mexico for some plastic surgery. And so luckily he canceled those plans because that's dangerous. That's dangerous right now. But speaking of cuts, nice transition, nice. Greg. What do you see happening next for the Vikings? Because it's not just going to be Kendricks. Some other big names are going to have to go. Dougie, Ben, don't fight over the mic.
He's jumping in there, yeah.
Yeah, either one.
I think it's going to be one of the big name defensive guys, Harry Hitman Smith, or maybe even Patrick P. I know there's a rumor that he might stay, but he also might go. But I think it's going to be a defense, and I think that would be the right move. I think your offense is fine, but, you know, there's also a rumor with Delvin there, so.
Yeah,
but I think Harry the Hitman might not be a Viking.
Or what about Roel Thielen too? I mean, a lot of rumors going around that he might be on the block too.
Yeah, there was some talk about him originally, and then there was some more talk about they're going to try to, you know, figure out some math magic to make it happen so we can stick around. My question for you, Dougie, is if Thielen does go, who's wide receiver number two? Because that's been Thielen's job for a while. Or don't we need, is Hockenson now kind of wide receiver two at tight end?
I was going to say, you got Justin Jefferson. That's all you need. The rest are all
just defense. One guy.
Just one guy. All your tight ends with, you know, you got Irv Smith and Hockenson, of course, who became the darling last year.
Yeah.
To the point where they forgot every other guy on the field other than
Jefferson. That's not true. They have KJ Osborne. He had a really good year. So
yeah, he did, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. I think Osborne's got to be your number two, but and then Irv Smith and Hockenson are going to fill in those gaps.
Spence, is Osborne good enough to be wide receiver two in your mind? Or
yeah, I think yeah. so. I mean, every time he's asked Vanessa to step up, and he made some big catches.
He did, yeah.
Right? So, yeah, I think so. I think he can easily step in there and do that job.
I think
he's a superhero now, too.
Yeah, TJ, he saved somebody from a burning car wreck, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's down in Texas, and he comes upon a burning vehicle at like 2:30 in the morning, and I don't know what he's out at 2:30 in the morning for, but right place, right time. Yeah, and what, you know, who knows why this guy at 2:30 in the morning found himself inside of a burning vehicle, but lucky for him, KJ Osborne was there and pulled him out of the car. So, I mean, that's has nothing to do with his play on the field and what'll happen next year, but a cool story.
Right. Maybe he goes into like the like a first responder field instead.
Maybe.
He's found his niche. And real TJ, don't be so judgmental. Who among the five of us hasn't found ourselves in a burning car at 2:30 in the morning?
Yeah, well, I mean,
come on.
Yeah, right? Yeah. At 23 years old or 24?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. You can make some assumptions, and you're probably right, but yeah.
I mean, the fact that it only happened once, I mean, some of us have been there more than that. So,
right.
So now you got to make a decision on Kirk, too, because you got to extend JJ. That's coming. That's going to be big dollars. So you got to get the quarterback thing figured out, and maybe Jefferson even waits to be like, before I commit to anything, let me see what my future holds as far as who's going to be throwing me the ball, right? So they could extend Kirk for several years. Sounds like he doesn't just want to do a one-year extension anymore, so that's out. So you have to extend him for several years, or you let him play out his final year, or I guess you trade him. I'm in the trade him category, but you'd have to get somebody who is ready to go. Right. You don't, because we have nothing. We have nothing lined up at quarterback at all down the bench. So TJ, what I don't know. Do you want to trade him? Do you want to re-sign him and work those numbers down a little bit in your favor?
I think you're right with the Justin Jefferson thing. He wants to wait and see who's going to be throwing him footballs, because if it's Kirk, then maybe he's willing to stick around. And if you tell him it's not, and you're going to go to the draft and look for the next big thing, then he might be like, yeah, not willing to wait that long.
Right.
I'm more of a right now kind of guy. So you either have to, massage those numbers and keep Kirk around to be able to give JJ that contract. Or you, like you said, I agree, you have to bring in someone who's ready to go right now that he's excited about.
Do you make a play for Lamar then? Do you offer him a contract?
Yeah, he's available, right?
Yeah, I know. I saw them kicking around that idea yesterday, and I don't hate it. No. You know, it's good. It'd be good to have a much more mobile quarterback back there that can make some things happen when the intended play doesn't happen or it falls apart. Mm-hmm. I could definitely see something like that happen. But man, when you look at the numbers that Kirk is making, which were so astronomical when they first signed him, now you look at what all these other quarterbacks are making, and he's like sixth or seventh on the list.
He's a bargain now.
Yeah.
We thought we were overpaying.
Yeah.
Look what Daniel Jones is getting, for God's sake.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that one actually bears a little talking about. I think that could really shape up what Kirk does next. This thing I was reading about, there's two schools of thought. One, he's going to look at Daniel Jones and go, you know what? I am a much better quarterback than Daniel Jones, and I don't think anyone can argue that.
And he is. Yeah.
So he's going to be looking, going, you know what? I want to make more money than Daniel Jones. But on the flip side of it, he's going to go to a team that needs a quarterback really bad but might not have the supporting cast. And Kirk's not getting any younger, so he might be willing, you know, to bend a little bit on that and say, you know what? I would just as soon stay with a team that I have a chance to win something with. And from my personal standpoint, I hate to say it, that could very well be the Vikings right now. So,
all right, let's get intern Ben's input here. Intern Ben, what are you doing? Are you extending Kirko chains? Are you trading him? No one's doing the let him play out his final year. Draft somebody, draft a quarterback, and let him play out his final year. What are you thinking, Ben?
I think you let him play out the final year, get a rookie, and then, you know, let the rookie sit on the bench and learn from Kirk. And even though Kirk's not a mobile quarterback, but, you know, you look at O'Connell's offense and what he did with Jay Jettas and Kirk was able to get outside the pocket. So I think having a mobile quarterback, you know, is going to excel our offense. So I think drafting a quarterback, you know, in the later rounds wouldn't be a bad idea.
Anybody a great draft mind? Is there anybody worth going after in this year's draft? I have no idea. I honestly don't. I mean, the kid from Ohio State, right? Is he in it? Stroud?
Yeah, Stroud's in it. He's the first round, though.
Yeah, and we're way down, what, 23, 24? You'd have to trade up, I guess, to get anything decent.
Yeah, maybe that Richardson from Florida, I think he's from. The Vikings are really high on him, so maybe give him a shot and see what they can do.
And then make sure JJ's on board with whatever you decide to do there, I guess. Let's shift to the Twins real quick, and is the injury bug already just taking some chomps out of the Twins? I've got four of them for you. Nothing giganto yet, but Jose Miranda with a bum shoulder, Austin Martin, right elbow, Nick Gordon, high ankle sprain, Gilberto Celestino, bad thumb. Anybody else getting a nervous colon about the injury bug already?
No, not right now.
All right. Okay. You're good. Time.
Yeah.
I think as long as you don't hear the two words Correa and ankle.
Oh,
I think you should feel a little bit better about that going. Okay. So far, so good. We made it 2 weeks.
I know. After everything we heard in the offseason, I feel like it's just an old dry twig down there that he's standing.
Going any minute. It's like an old pirate stomping around on a peg leg. The other two words, Dougie, Tommy and John. You don't want to hear anywhere along the way either. But
yeah, and Buxton and Buxton discomfort are bad too. Buck and Polanco still haven't started a spring game. Spencer, should we be nervous about that? Don't they need to get tuned up a little bit in the spring? That's what it's for.
Well, they must know something we don't. I mean, maybe they're getting reps and stuff. No, not with Bucks. They'll leave them alone.
Good Lord. And bubble wrap and
rest them all you need to, right? No, I think they're fine. They must know what they got already. So,
yeah, I kind of think it's the right strategy too. These guys, this isn't like the old days, right? To harken back to Killebrew in the 60s, even the 70s or 80s, these guys had other jobs in the off season, right? And they literally went to spring training to get in shape. Mm-hmm. And that's not a concern anymore with these guys and what they make and staying in shape all year round. And you know, the Twins, if you go to Fort Myers and you go to Hammond Stadium, there's Hammond Stadium. And then beyond that, you know, in the whole Lee County sports complex are probably half a dozen other fields. And there's action going on in those backfields all the time, and those guys are getting reps and those guys are getting at bats, but in a more controlled situation. So they are getting tuned up, but you're just maybe not seeing it, and they're not showing up on TV or showing up in a box score. So it's a little it's a little worrisome to a fan if you don't realize that they are actually getting worked out. Interesting stuff. You know, we heard a lot about the pitch clock. We talked about the timer, the pitch clock last week. One of the things to speed things up is some veteran pitchers are being given the option to call their own games. So in other words, it wouldn't be the catcher putting down signals anymore, right? And one for the fastball, inside, outside, high, low, whatever. Sonny Gray, the other day in a spring game, was allowed to call his own pitches. That's kind of mind-blowing, isn't it, Dougie? I mean, for a sport that's been around for however many over 100 years, that's a whole new take.
You know, that is because, I mean, you're getting a lot of input. It's not just the catcher calling the game either. I mean, especially with this new PitchCom thing. I mean, you're hearing it from the bench. You're hearing it from the coach. You have your own input as the catcher. And then, of course, the pitcher has his, you know, he'll shake a pitch off if he doesn't like one particular pitch. But
right.
That's a lot of pressure on one guy, especially, you know,
if you're
one of those guys that a little maybe overconfident, like you can feel your fastball slipping in the later innings, but go, I got one more. I can slip it by him. And then all of a sudden, poof, over the fence it goes. So, I don't know. I guess I hadn't heard that. That's interesting.
Yeah. And Dougie, the thing, too, is like sometimes maybe that catcher is more objective about what you have that day.
Yeah, exactly. Because
stuff,
again, it's you know, as a professional athlete, you have a certain level of maybe overconfidence in what you have. And the catcher is not going to pull, you know, he's not going to pull his punches. He's going to say, you know what, you just don't, this pitch is not working today. And the pitcher is going to be like, you know what, I can bring it around though. I can fix this. Yes. Yeah. I'm just going to try it 3-4 more times. Yeah. And that 3 or 4 more pitches might be the ones that hurt you.
Could be home runs. Yeah. So the pitch com is the catcher has the delivery system on his like wrist and is able to, you know, curve, you know, high curve. And then it goes to the receiver in the pitcher's ball cap. But it was Ben, it was too loud the other day, right? And the other, there was creating some problems. The other team could hear it.
Yeah. Against the Tampa Bay Rays, I think it was Maeda or Gray was pitching and,
Yeah,
they heard what was coming. Yep.
Didn't help them any.
Nope. No, it did not help them any.
I think they lost, right? They still lost.
Yeah, they got shut out, I think.
That's pretty good. Like that's like what's the movie where they would be like tipping, you know, he's gonna throw you a fastball, you know, be ready for it. Didn't matter. They knew it was coming, they still couldn't hit it. Maybe that's a good sign. They had it so loud, it was almost as loud as Spence's headphones in the studio during a...
That's loud. That is loud.
It was just, you could hear it 2 studios down. It was not good. So, TJ, let me ask you, who would you start for the opening game for the Twins? Because they have, believe it or not, this was a good trivia question I saw online the other day. They've got 5 guys on the 40-man roster who have started an opening day game in MLB, and it was Joe Ryan last year. Do you give him that honor again? Cause he's kind of the younger kid with all the talent in the world, or do you go with an experienced guy? Do you give it to Maeda because he went through the whole Tommy John thing and now he's back, or you give it to
him? I think you picked the wrong guy to ask this question. Cause I don't have any idea who I would start in that. Okay. I'm still hung up on the pitch com thing. So the catcher can hit the deal, and then the pitcher, here's what he wants.
He hears it.
Yep. Right? Okay, so does the catcher have the comm too?
Yep.
Yeah.
The batters were able to hear it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that was my question. I'm like, if the pitchers are calling their own pitches, how does the catcher know what's coming? But that's how the catcher knows with the pitch comm.
Actually, I think that's...
That's a really good question.
The catcher's got to know what's coming.
If the pitcher's calling his own game, does the catcher just sit back there and react to the pitch going...
The pitcher's got to have the pitch comm device on his, right?
I would want to know if I was expecting a curveball or a changeup or a fastball.
Wait for the curveball and you get the fastball, 95. Boom.
Right
upside the head.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. All right. So to answer your question, I go with Ricky Vaughn opening day.
Ricky Vaughn.
He's a closer.
Frank Viola.
Yeah, but you got to give him a chance eventually, right? Yeah. He got glasses, so now I think he's just really a little more focused, and he can go the distance now instead of just being a closer.
He got a good fastball. Sounded like it.
Yeah.
All right, Spence, bail him out. Who do you start on Sunday?
I'm going to go with Maeda.
I think. Okay.
Well, you know, I guess what it'll come down to is probably something we don't know is all the analytics, right?
Right.
Which pitcher does better against this particular lineup as opposed to this pitcher? That's probably what they'll figure out. But my gut, if I'm Rocco, I'm like, I'm going to go with this guy. He hasn't started in a year and a half or more. Man, give this Maeda kid a chance.
Yeah, you know, he's rested.
Yeah, he's rested. Yeah. He's had a year and a half off.
Yep. He's rested, yeah.
Yep. We'll find out. Well, whatever he's doing, if he's about to pitch that perfect game, you got to pull him.
Pull him. Absolutely. The minute it looks like he may have a perfect game, make sure you come out and put somebody really incompetent in, if you would. That would be great. All right, TJ, I know you can handle this one. The Wild shut out at home, overtime shootout loss to Calgary. and this lack of scoring ability is really starting to concern some people. Thank God the defense and the goaltending's there, right?
Defense was really solid, and goaltending on both sides of the ice was really good last night, too. And that unfortunate offside call, and you can go back and watch it 100 times, but really when it comes down to the technicality of it, it was an offside. Spurgeon entered the zone and was in first, and if he had kept possession of that puck, I think that would have been legal entering the zone with it, but he passed it away just before it got into the zone, and it constituted offside. But man, that was a great looking goal,
because they lost the shot.
Big meaty rebound, and then that was a beautiful goal. That would have been it, I think, in that game. I think you needed one goal to win it based on the goaltending last night. And then we would go into the overtime. Nothing happens. Well, that was during the overtime, but then that ends. And then the shootout, and you're thinking, well, all Freddie Gaudreau does is score shootout goals. Yes. We're solid here.
Yeah.
I think if Kaprizov on the second shootout shot could have scored there, that would have been big for us too. But he missed. Gaudreau scores. But Calgary came back and got two, so they end up with the 1-0 shootout win. And now we got to go up to Winnipeg. That was a game. That was a tough loss for us. That was one we should have been able to win. I think Calgary was coming off a game the night before as well. And now we got to go up to Winnipeg, and it'll be a similar situation there tonight. Hopefully, at least that's not a long travel day for the Wild. And hopefully they're able to rebound on that, because it's getting down to crunch time. We've got a few new, Western Sweden is what Minnesota is called now. I think we've got like six Swedish players.
We're loading up
on the team. And so we'll see as some of these new guys start to gel a little bit. I mean, a lot of times you can plug and play hockey players, but as you start to get comfortable in the locker room, know each other, know what's going on, and kind of, I call it like that sixth sense where you know what somebody's going to do. And these guys that have played with Kirill for a while just know, like, he's going to pass me this puck. It doesn't look like he is, but I know this puck's coming.
It's coming. Be ready.
And vice versa. So hopefully they start to gel a little bit there. We're sitting in a good position. We just can't afford to lose the games we're supposed to win.
What did you think of the trade deadline moves? There wasn't anything earth-shattering, but were you happy with what they were able to pick up? Or?
Yeah, I think it was okay. I think if you go back and look at draft or trade deadline grades, Garen gets a pretty good grade on that without doing a whole lot. We'll see. I know that what's his name, Johansson, a lot of people were a little worried about bringing him back around again, but he's not blowing the doors off of, you know, statistics and records with what he's doing, but he was playing better than he was with us. He's not playing with broken arms or anything like that, so so hopefully he stays healthy and everything works out okay. I like the moves that were made. They're, like you said, nothing earth-shattering, but I think we upgraded. So
got some draft picks back. That was good. Yeah. We didn't have to give away the farm. And to me, almost, I mean, this is sad to say, Spence, but Greenway gone is addition by subtraction. I don't know what happened to that guy, but he was bye-bye. If he quit on the team or what?
Oh, he was frustrating to watch, right? He'd have a good game, and then 10 games, he wouldn't do a dang thing.
Yeah.
Like, and he's so big and you know, physical down in front of the net. Like, this guy should score a bunch of goals and never really did. Especially this year.
Frustrating. So, part of that important line last year, and that just didn't happen for us this year again.
Oh. Yeah, there's a Greenway jersey hanging in a closet at my house. That's probably why he played so terrible.
Never do that.
As you go out and buy a jersey, you know.
Back. Yeah. Yeah. You got to go with the guy that's like, you got to get the Kaprizov.
Yeah.
Right.
The retro.
The ant, or do a retro. Yeah, there you go.
Reverse retro Kaprizov is probably what you should spend your money on.
There you go. Spencer, you got a couple of Wild jerseys. Oh, what do you got?
I'm wearing a jersey. Hoodie today. Yeah.
Yeah. Any name on the back?
No.
Wise man. Wise man right there.
I am going to the Boston game. Was it a week from Saturday?
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Nice. Wolves, your Wolves lost to the Sixers last night, Spence. They played one good quarter, and then they said, thank you and good night.
What the hell? I don't get it. Is it coaching? Is that the part of the issue here? They're 5-5 their last 10 games. Now they're in the seventh spot, right? So they wouldn't make the playoffs. I don't know. They're starting to wear on my nerves. And they've got some tough games coming up too. Yeah. They've got the Knicks, they've got the Celtics. They have some easier games too. I think they have Atlanta coming up, and I forget another easier game, but we'll see. And I think the Boston game's in Boston too. So I don't know.
Towns gonna play again this year. Supposedly I saw this morning. Oh, no, he's gonna practice. Well, yeah, that doesn't mean a damn thing.
He didn't get traded.
We still don't know what the hell happened to him. They haven't even really said, have they?
Calf strain, grade 3. Calf strain. Calf strain, yeah. And he's missed 100 game or is no four? I don't know how many games it was. A lot of games and 100
days, I think. Right?
Is that the equivalent to turf toe?
I mean, it's just, I don't know. But you know what? At this point, I was talking to this with Ben before the podcast. At this point, like, I'm just like, just shelf him. Well, what's the point? I mean, honest to God, what are you going to, if you're not going to bring him into the playoffs and he's he's out of shape and he's going to be a little tentative on that thing. You want that in the playoffs? And then you're not used to playing with him in the lineup. I just think it would be more of a distraction if he came back at this point.
Yeah, maybe. I don't. I mean, you've got Naz Reid playing some pretty good basketball right now. They've got plenty of guys in there, but they just haven't put it together for a length of time yet. But
after the game last night, Embiid and Ant traded jerseys after the game. We've seen this, right? NFL will do this after a game. What's up with that? And who pays for that? Like, is the team sitting there going, holy crap, that jersey cost us like $350. He just gave it to me. Now we got to get him a new one, right? And I'm sure Glenn Taylor was like, don't do it. Don't give that back. Wanting to save a few pennies there. Why is that a thing now, Spence? What's the...
I don't know. That doesn't make any sense. And then let's say you do swap jerseys.
Yeah.
Do you wash it?
I don't think so.
If you're not going to wash it, then what's the point? I don't get it. Then you probably want to just go buy one off the shelf.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and get the right size. Because what's the chances that Embiid and Ant are wearing the same size jersey?
They're not.
Slim to none. Yeah. So I don't know. The whole thing just confuses me. It's weird. It's like they're fangirling on each other, right? Kind of is.
Maybe it's a show of respect. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they throw it in a shadow box and give it to a charity to auction off somewhere.
Yeah. Washed or unwashed? That's what we want.
Oh, definitely unwashed.
I know. We want to know. Well, let's go around the horn real quick on this, on the Golden Gopher women's basketball team. It happened right after we spit out the last podcast last week. Lindsay Whalen quits as a coach of the Gophers. Obviously, she was getting fired, but they gave her the option. And then she bails on the press conference with athletic director Mark Coyle that day and hasn't publicly spoken since. Spence, how awkward was that for Coyle to just be standing there next to like an empty podium going, oh yeah, this was mutually decided upon.
That was a bad move. I don't get it. Why did you think she was, if you're actually fired on, that's probably what happened. Why would you expect her to show up? But I don't know. It's dumb. It's just dumb. Time to move on, I think.
Yeah, it's tough, right? Because TJ, she's kind of a legend, right? She's kind of on the Mount Rushmore of Minnesota basketball, for sure, women's basketball, but maybe basketball, period. So that's tough, dismissing somebody like that. The results weren't there.
Right, yeah, the results weren't there. It was, like Spence said, time to move on, I think, from that particular situation. But a legend, nonetheless, in the state of Minnesota and in basketball. I mean, her high school named the gym after her, and then she goes on to play, and then she's a pro, and then she's a coach, and the level of respect should be there. Maybe she felt like she wasn't respected there at the end, and I can understand that, and it's going to be an emotional situation, and certainly I don't think she owes them that press conference if that's what happened. But did they end up, since they still have to pay out the contract, right? They slide her into some ambiguous sort of job title that she'll never do.
Yep. Yeah. Would you want to work hand in hand with the guy that fired your ass?
Well, you could say that's what I'm going to do and pay me the money. But let me tell you how half-assed I'm going to do that job if I'm her, if at all, you know?
Right? Absolutely. Here's the part that impressed me, and I think this came down yesterday, but you're expecting now because Waylon was putting together, she had a pretty good crop of freshmen. And there were four in particular that were highly touted and were starting to really shine towards the end there. And you're like, well, they're gone. They're gone. The coach that they signed up to play for, right? Oh, my God. We get to play for the Lindsey Whalen, says she's quitting. And now you've got, what, 3 years left to go in your college career. But yesterday, Mara Braun, one of the stud freshmen, said, and here's the quote, "We came here to represent the state and turn the program around, and I intend to help finish what we started. Coach Whalen and I have talked, and she wants this for us as well. To shut down any speculation, I am a Gopher and look forward to continuing Coach Whalen's vision for us and the program." How cool is that, Spence? That's
refreshing is what that is. Outstanding. Yeah.
And then after she did that, a couple of more dominoes tipped and two more. I believe it was Holloway and Heyer both said, yep, we're with her. We're sticking around too. And so I think Amaya Battle is the last one we're waiting to hear from. But that's pretty damn impressive that they're doing it. She's not even the coach anymore, but they're doing it for her.
You want to hear my devil's advocate point of view on that?
Yeah, let's hear it.
They can't get out of their NIL deals, and they're stuck playing whether they want to go or not. The transfer portal has changed college sports.
And NIL.
Yep, and the NIL thing. And so now, I mean, you're going to see things. I mean, I'm a hockey guy, so on the hockey side of things, you may see a bunch of dudes bolting from Wisconsin now that, you know, they're looking for a coach. Same thing may happen here where, you know, if there is an opportunity for a player to go somewhere else and get a better NIL deal, then they might go. And if they can't get out of the NIL, then, yeah, they're stuck. Mm-hmm. They're going to play. They're going to say all the right things in order to try to continue to play.
Huh. All right.
Just me kind of being a pessimist. Yeah. But
No. I get it. MSU men's hockey advancing to the semifinals of the CCHA playoffs. They knocked off Lake State. Friday, TJ, finally the blowout game I've been waiting for at home all season.
It was we've gotten really used to those. And then all of a sudden there it was six goals. And I thought, guys, I got to work tomorrow too, at least. So save some voice for Saturday night. But yeah, six goals was nice to see. And it was by six different Maverick hockey players.
Impressive.
So that was something that we haven't seen a lot of either. So let's hope that that machine keeps rolling here in Saturday's game.
Tassie lit the lamp for the first time too.
Yeah, that was great. Nice little turnover there, and then he takes it across the blue line and just a bullet he fires into the goal. And everybody there, I think the announced attendance was right around 4,000, a little less because it was spring break. In a playoff game that I think a lot of people just figured they were going to win. But everybody that was in the building knew it was his first career goal. Mm-hmm. The place was electric. It was fun. I hope there's more of that.
Now, I'm not going to toot my own horn, and take credit for everything that happened on Friday. I'm just going to take it for the majority of it. It was my first home game of the year.
No.
Watching the Mavericks play, and they blow up for six goals. I'm not saying it was me. I'm not saying it wasn't me. So what I'm saying is I should probably find someone to give me tickets to
this Saturday. Yeah.
All I'm saying.
I brought this up on the podcast last week that I don't pick the winners. I don't play the music and I don't decide those things. And the first text I get from Dougie at the game is like, "Hey, do you take requests?"
Oh, my God.
"Are you playing the music? Do you take requests?" And I said, the answer is no and no.
Yeah.
And then can you get the drone out here and fly it by me?
Yeah, the drone free.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
But that's funny
because then I texted you later, "Can I get the Fleet Farm gift card in my room?"
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't get that either.
The Fleet Farm gift card. Yeah. He said, "I've been here, you know, I haven't gotten any requests played. I haven't won any prizes. These tickets are terrible," he says. And I'm like, "Yeah, you're welcome, by the way."
It's like 30 seconds into the game, I'm like, "I have gotten nothing out of these. Yeah. Nothing."
Yeah. And then he requests Chumbawamba, and I kind of giggle because I was like, well, there's a chance that if there's a penalty where someone just gets blown up, that they actually might play that song. Because, you know, you get knocked down, you get back up again.
Yeah. One's going to keep
the night away. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But nonetheless, it didn't happen. And then Dougie wasn't there Saturday, and we struggled to get that point.
I know.
Thanks, Dougie. I blame you for the 1-0 nail biter Saturday. Yeah. right. Well, let's get him tickets. Anybody influential?
Saturday it is.
Checking this out. Let's flood him with tickets.
I'll leave the back door unlocked. Just sneak in.
All right. Well, that's it for us. We're going to go. We're going to take off our shirts and exchange them as soon as the podcast is over. So we'll see you again soon.